My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Welcome back. Final hour. We won't go to the top of the hour, but final hour here on 106.7 The Fan. Caps at 6:45. We will give way to opening night there, but we still have some time here to talk Commanders, Ravens, as well as the rest of the NFL. By the way, if you missed it, the Commanders announced earlier, Brian Robinson is out this week with his knee issue. So Austin Eckler, Jeremy McNichols will take the load there. Now, of course, beyond that, the headline this week has got to do with Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson. And our next guest is going to talk us through that matchup as well as other aspects of this interesting week six. Derek Claussen is part of our NFL group at The Athletic. Derek, I appreciate the time. You and I talked in August on my podcast, The Last Man Standing, and I guarantee neither one of us had 4-1 through 5 weeks for the Commanders. How shocked are you that this is where they're at?
First of all, thanks for having me on. And second of all, extremely. I remember even when me and Robert on our show did, you know, our teams draft, we were supposed to pick two bad teams, you know, to get wins for. And the bad was like, I think under 6.5 win total going into the season. And I put Washington on my do not draft list, which obviously looks insane now that they're 4-1. So I certainly did not see this coming.
No, I mean, you know, look, my thought was all, look, Jaden Daniels, I was willing to believe that he could come in and be pretty good right away based on what I saw. But that still didn't mean a lot of wins with all these, you know, questions on the offensive line, the secondary. Do they have enough pass catch playmakers around him? What for you? I mean, obviously Jaden Daniels has been great, but is there something for you that has kind of stood out and maybe surprised you the most as why they've had this kind of success on offense?
You mentioned the offensive line. The offensive line has certainly been better than I thought it was going to. And I don't think it's 100% just because, you know, the players I think are better than I thought they were. I think, first of all, Cliff is doing a pretty good job protection wise, just giving them a lot of chips when it makes a lot of sense and kind of helping them out that way. And then also just because they've been able to run the ball so well, they're not in as many like clear drop back pass situations. And I think that that's, you know, helped assuage some of those issues. And I think that's really what a lot of this comes down to, is that, you know, last year Washington, they were one of the worst rushing teams in the league. They barely did it, and when they did it, it was really, really bad. And I expected Cliff and Jaden Daniels to improve the run game to some degree. I did not expect them to come in and be, you know, like a top five rushing offense and really lift the floor of the offense to this degree. So I would say that's, like, to me, been the biggest factor of why this is humming the way that it is.
We're talking with Derek Claussen, who's, as his Twitter bio says, one half of The Athletic Football Show with Robert Mays. You can follow him on X Twitter at QB Class with a K. Remind me where you were, because I want to ask you about some of the other rookie quarterbacks here. There was obviously a lot of debate about what should Washington do, assuming Caleb Williams went one. Where were you at Jaden Daniels, and what was maybe something that you were questioning or wondering about that has maybe you've changed your mind on since the season started?
Yeah, so for me, it was, I had Caleb and Drake May were kind of in their own like class of prospect. I thought those two were just incredibly special talents, like the arm talent, them being so young, them doing what they did on really bad teams, I just thought was incredibly impressive. And then Jaden Daniels to me was number three. I thought he was more coming in like a very high floor prospect, just in the sense of this is clearly a guy who doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He was pretty accurate to most levels of the field. Obviously you add in his rushing threat, which is both a ceiling raiser and a floor raiser. But to me, it's like, okay, if you have the ability to run, you can make up for a lot of mistakes elsewhere. So that was kind of what I saw from him. I thought he was going to be like a Tyrod Taylor plus, because I think he has some of the issues that Tyrod Taylor struggled with over his career, which is sometimes throwing from the pocket under pressure could be a little bit of an issue. And then sometimes throwing over the middle of the field was not his biggest strength. And so those to me were the two biggest things I wanted to see Jaden Daniels improve on going into the NFL. I think in terms of throwing under pressure from the pocket, he just hasn't had to do it very much, which is both a testament to how well he's been good at everything else to keep the offense humming and a testament to what Cliff has been doing. Throwing over the middle, again, he's still not doing it a lot, but when he has been doing it, he's been hitting almost all of those throws. You know, he had one to Ertz last week that got dropped. There was one in the Giants game to Terry McLaurin that I thought was really good. He obviously had that other touchdown to Terry McLaurin over the middle of the field. So he's shown a little bit of improvement in that sense. And I think if he can take maybe even one more step further, that's when I would start to be like, okay, this dude is real deal, one of the best passers in the league.
So one thing that's going to be fascinating is once we see other teams now have film on him 5 weeks worth, you know, what adjustments come there? We saw the Browns last week play a lot of man-to-man, and Jaden Daniels ends up having his worst completion percentage game of the season, but he also made a bunch of big plays and they blew the Browns out. Based on what you have seen, I know each team is a little bit different, but what would you look to do if you're an opposing defense to try to slow down what Jaden Daniels is doing?
I would say it's two things. I would say, first of all, you've got to keep him in the pocket. And that's obviously easier said than done, right? Like, not every team has 270-pound defensive ends that can just crush the pocket rather than, you know, try to speed rush and just catch up to him. So obviously it's a difficult thing to do. And your rushers have to be really disciplined about maintaining their lanes instead of just getting eyes wide when they see the quarterback and trying to run and chase him. Like, you're probably just not going to catch Jaden Daniels, so you probably shouldn't be doing that. So I think keeping him in the pocket, forcing him to make some of those throws under pressure. And then, you know, you kind of mentioned it, the man-to-man stuff. I think if you just close the windows on him and really force him to make some of those throws over the middle of the field, again, I think he's done it a little bit better than I thought he did out of college, but I think it's fair to say it's a worse part of his game compared to some of what he's done outside the numbers, some of what he's done down the field. Like, outside the numbers, whether it's throwing hitch routes, some of those out routes he's thrown, flats, the go balls, he is money outside the numbers. Over the middle is still a work in progress. So if you can force him to do that, like I said, from some of those tight pockets, that's the way that I think you try to slow him down.
We're talking to Derek Klassen, part of the Athletics Football Show podcast. All right, let me ask you, flipping away from the Commanders, they're going to face the Bears in a couple of weeks with Caleb Williams. And Jaden Daniels has just come out. He's won all the awards every week, Rookie of the Week all the time. But, I mean, it's a racket. He's going to have to build a whole new wing of his house for everything. He's already won through five games. But Caleb Williams is starting to improve. The Bears are 3-2. This is obviously going to be a direct comparison. I know Jaden Daniels said this week he doesn't like comps, but we're going to make those in a couple of weeks when these teams play. What have you seen from Caleb Williams so far? Where is he been improving over the last few weeks?
That's a great question, because I think the answer is kind of everything. You know, those first couple of weeks I think were pretty rough for him. He obviously looked a little more skittish in the pocket than I think he had typically done in college. We weren't getting as many of those plays outside of the pocket that we were used to. His accuracy, especially down the field, was really an issue. I think over the last few weeks, and especially last week, he's really locking in on the throws that he wants to make. Like, his decision-making is feeling a little bit more streamlined, a little bit more confident. His work managing the pocket and really moving around the pocket, I think, has started to improve. And then the accuracy is coming along. You know, he still has one or two misfires a game in a way that a guy like Jaden Daniels really doesn't. But I think it's, you know, when in week one and two he was missing five or six throws that were like, what's going on here? Now it's only one or two. Given how hard things are for him, like in how much they're putting on his shoulders, I'm willing to give him one or two oopsies. And so I think he's just kind of been improving almost in every way since week one.
I got to get a defensive coordinator to use oopsies at some point. I think that would be that'd be a lot of fun for me, at least. This is probably a dumb question, but I'm hosting a radio show and it feels like a radio kind of a question. Now that you've seen what you've seen, if you do it all over again, would you still take Caleb Williams first over Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, easily. And that's not really anything wrong with Jaden Daniels. I just think that Caleb, just in terms of the arm talent, I think some of what they can put on him mentally, I mean, you're already seeing it in terms of what he's handling pre-snap and setting all the protections for them. And then just some of the arm angles he can get to, his unique ability to get to these weird throws. It's too special for me to throw that away after only five games. And again, Jaden Daniels has been great and better than I thought he was going to be early on, but I'm still willing to give Caleb a little bit of time to make good on what we all thought he was as a prospect.
So the other quarterback you mentioned earlier, Drake May, was sort of the third guy in this group. Obviously, by the time it ended up, he goes third to the Patriots. And New England has, unlike Washington and Chicago, they've given him a little bit of time to watch and learn. But he's going to come in this week, and everybody's saying, boy, what are they doing? This is a really weird week to bring him in. Bad offensive line going up against a really good pass rush in the Texans. You know, how terrible is this decision to start him this week? Or do you think, hey, you got to get him in there at some point?
You know, at first I kind of looked at the week, and it's that this Texans pass rush is really good. D'Amico Ryans is one of the best and just nastiest defensive coordinators in the league, or defensive play callers. But then I thought about it, and I was like, this Patriots team is not going to be good at any point. And they kind of play a murderer's row of defenses for almost the entire season. So there probably really wasn't going to be an easy on-ramp game for him. And he was going to play at some point, whether it was, you know, week 6, week 10, whatever it was. He was definitely going to get on the field. So I think for this to be the week, optically it looks weird, again, because this is such a great pass rush. But I think it's going to be fine, and I don't think one game is going to ruin this guy.
You know, it's such a fascinating question. What do you do with a rookie quarterback? You start them right away. I wrote a story right before the season started, and, you know, there were some coaches, Brian Callahan with the Titans was one who was like, look, I just believe you got to throw them out there, get the mistakes out of the way, you know, let them experience things and go from there. Others, from Andy Reid and Matt LaFleur, were like, yeah, no, I would prefer all things being equal to let this guy rest, even if it's for a year. And obviously in both cases, they had great success sitting guys, and maybe that influences their view. So we've got we've got Caleb Williams with a good team started away, Jaden Daniels with a team we didn't think was that going to be that good playing well, Drake May sitting. Where are you just in general on that question? And does anything that's happened this year influence you one way or the other?
You know, I think it kind of depends on just the quarterback, which is obviously a cop out, but I think there are some quarterbacks who just kind of are always pedal to the metal and pushing their limits and really trying to find what type of plays they can get away with. I think those are the guys you need to just throw out there. Like, let them go figure it out. And you know, Josh Allen was like this, obviously, as a rookie, but we've seen this from a lot of guys where some of these young guys, they just need to go out and then see what it's going to look like. How good is their arm really against NFL defenses? How many of these pass rushers can I actually get away with compared to college? Whereas I think you see on the other end, there's some guys who so much of what they do is like timing based and decision making based within structure. And like, those are probably the guys that you could maybe sit for a little bit. You know, Kirk Cousins is kind of a good example where he got a little bit of time in Washington to just sit on the bench, learn the playbook, didn't really have to play as much. And I think that was a benefit to him because he's not a guy who can just, when all things go wrong, he can go make a play. He's just not built like that. He kind of needed that time to understand how an NFL pocket works and stuff. So I would say it's mostly just kind of depends on the guy's skill set.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let's get to a couple of the games. I know people, you know, they may have interest for, you know, in various ways at some of these games. Stay with an NFC East teams. The Cowboys are hosting the Lions. Now, look, I know the Cowboys haven't exactly gotten off to a crisp start, but they're 3-2. They're at home, and they're a 3-point dog to the Lions, who Detroit's been, you know, very good. But that seems like a little curious a number. Of course, the, you know, no Brandon Cooks. Dallas has got missing some guys on defense. Where do you view this game, and is it, is Dallas in more trouble than I think?
I kind of think so, just because to me, the biggest issue with this game for Dallas specifically, you know, you kind of mentioned, I think they're a fine team and they have some ways to win. I think Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb being out there by virtue is going to keep you in almost every game. The problem to me is the Lions have one of the best rushing offenses in the league, and they're very willing to lean on that. And Dallas's rushing defense, even though it's been a little bit better the past 2 weeks, has been awful for a lot of the season. And I think this is a game where we get reminded again of how bad they can be up front. Like, I just wouldn't be surprised if this is a game where Detroit runs for 175 and Jared Goff hits two or three play action shots off of that stuff. So that is kind of where I'm leaning on this game going.
You know, obviously, going back to the hiring of Dan Quinn, Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, was the one that a lot of people maybe not necessarily thought was the favorite, but one a lot of people were clamoring for. And at times it felt like he was the favorite. Obviously, he chose to stay and remain the coordinator. What have you thought of him so far this year? Have there been adjustments made by the other teams that have that's impacted anything that they've been doing this year?
You know, I think the biggest difference between, you know, maybe last year's Lions and how efficient they were all the time compared to maybe this year's is I think they're just missing a little bit some of the consistency and like glue guy factor that Josh Reynolds gave them. You know, he was a bigger body. He was willing to block a lot, which kind of made up for the fact that tight end Sam Laporta doesn't do a whole lot of blocking. He's really more of a receiver. And so I think they've just kind of been trying to find what their offense wants to be when Jamison Williams is taking more of those snaps, who is obviously a much faster but much thinner and less consistent player. And so I think they're kind of just working through some things in that sense and trying to figure out how much of that they want to do. But otherwise, I think it's pretty much smooth sailing. And I think by the time we get to November, they're going to have a pretty clear identity and figure that stuff out.
All right, let me go to a different game. Obviously, the New York Jets, big in the news this week because the firing of head coach Robert Saleh. I think the timing is probably what surprised people more than anything. And then, of course, there's the Aaron Rodgers drama behind it. One of the parts of the conversation this week that has floored me is that Rodgers has gone like 28 consecutive games without throwing for 300 yards. That is pretty nuts. How much, putting aside the, you know, the GM Aaron Rodgers part of this and whether he or not, you know, called the code red or had a sense it was going to happen, what about the quarterback Aaron Rodgers? How far diminished is he, or is he just not? And just for whatever the reason, the yards haven't been there.
He just doesn't feel like obviously the guy that he used to. And I think the last time we really saw him in Green Bay, he was obviously not at the MVP level that he was. And I thought he was closer to like quarterback, I don't know, 9 or 10, which again, you know, typically Aaron Rodgers is top three. And so I think, you know, when he was quarterback 9 or 10 at the end of Green Bay, I think he's probably taken like a half step back further from that. I think he's even less willing to throw over the middle of the field, which is a little bit of an issue. Doesn't seem like he's all that comfortable right now doing some of the boot stuff or some of the hard play action where you're, you know, 7-step drop, turn your back to the defense. He just wants to do a lot of stuff where it's like, all right, we're either in gun and I'm doing some of my quick intermediate stuff, or I can just throw a back shoulder ball to Garrett Wilson and pray I put it on the right spot. It just feels a little bit too like he only wants to do the two or three things he's really comfortable with. And it's made it difficult to run like a cohesive offense. And, you know, you can kind of do that if the offense is talented enough, like the Bengals or something. But when Garrett Wilson is really your only guy, it just doesn't really work that way.
I know you're not necessarily in the rumor mill biz, but because the Jets have been clearly an all-in team, now they make this move after week five to fire their coach. You could look at it with Devontae Adams as like, hey, they got to keep going as hard as they can and make a move to get this guy. Or is it, well, maybe we need to like sort of slow the roll here because we need to see where this is going before we make another kind of all-in move. What do you think they kind of will do or should do in that regard?
So I think logically it would be dumb to go for him just because I just don't feel like your team is actually good enough for him to make the difference that you want him to. At the same time, if this all goes awry and the Jets only win 8, maybe 9 games this year, they don't make the playoffs, like a lot of people in the building are probably gone because they've been there for a while and their big swing was to make the Aaron Rodgers thing work. And so I guess at this point you might as well just do whatever you can to make the Aaron Rodgers thing work. And obviously going and getting Devontae Adams for whatever the cost is probably their kind of last resort for being able to do that.
Yeah, no, it when you have when everybody in the front office and the coaching staff probably knows they're in trouble, that's when they go for moves to try to save themselves, but it may be worse for the organization. So we'll see where management and ownership kind of come down on that. Lastly, to wrap this up, just view the Commanders Ravens game again. The Commanders at 4-1, it's house money, but they've played well, and if they were to win this game or even just be pretty competitive to the end, I think that would give them even more of a boost going forward. And the next few weeks, the schedule is not too bad. for the Ravens, you know, it's another game for the Ravens. They're used to this spotlight. What do you see as the key to this game, and what do you think it kind of hinges on?
Yeah, I mean, I think two things. I think win or lose, I think as Washington, you're probably pretty happy if this just isn't the Jaden Daniels come down to earth game. Because I know Baltimore's defense has been a little bit shaky this year, but I still think they're so well coached. They have enough good players that, like, they could, in theory, be the defense that makes Jaden Daniels look more, you know, mortal instead of just insane the way that he has the first 5 weeks. So if they can avoid that, I think that's huge and would go a long way. I think the other thing, Washington just has to defend the run. I mean, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry is about the scariest duo in terms of being able to tackle guys that you can get. I mean, you don't want to hit Derrick Henry, and then you can't even hit Lamar Jackson because he's so quick and fast, and his vision is incredible. So I think if they can slow down the run game a little bit and not let Baltimore be in these down and distances, control the game, control the possessions, that is their best bet. I'm not sure if they can do that because, you know, Washington's defense hasn't been great, but I think if they can do that even a little bit, that's their best bet.
I'm going to ask you one last question. This is the ultimate sports radio kind of question. With regards to Jaden Daniels, again, it's only five games. I had a caller earlier who compared him to Michael Jordan, and, like, you know, it just goes to show that where the enthusiasm in this town is, and God bless everybody. If the fans here have suffered enough, so go for it. But that said, he's, you know, he's young, he's exciting, he's poised, he can throw the ball, he can run. Like, there's a lot, obviously, to work with. If I said to you, okay, I don't know, we're just not so much winning today, but you could, like, you know, start over, you get to go with any quarterbacks. Is it, other than, like, Mahomes and maybe Josh Allen, I don't know who I'm taking over Jaden Daniels for the, you know, if we're talking about a multi-year scenario. Tell me who I'm missing, or how would you kind of assess where that is, or do you just want to tell me I should get back on my meds? It's too early to even discuss such things.
At least for me, you know, again, I'm very pleased with where Daniels has been. There's still probably closer to like 8 to 10 guys for me in that range. Like, obviously CJ Stroud, I think, is incredible. I think Joe Burrow has proven this for a long time. Lamar Jackson is going to win an MVP again at this rate. So certain guys like that, obviously a guy like Matthew Stafford today is a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels. But to your point, he's, you know, Daniels is a lot younger and stuff, and we might only get one or two more years out of Stafford. So to me, it's probably closer to at least 8 or 10 guys instead of one or two. But I didn't even expect to be saying that five games into Daniels' career. So I think for a rookie, it's a pretty good spot to be in.
All right. So this is why we have to have you on, because you can help us pump the brakes a little bit, because it's hard. Like I said, I'm not this guy. I'm not like pom-poms at all, but like, it is hard to not get caught up in a little bit, especially, again, even from my perspective as an unemotional observer, it's been garbage here for so long that to see this, you know, breath of fresh air come in, it is exciting to see where it goes. Derek Klassen at QB Class with a K on X Twitter. Listen to him on the Athletics Football Podcast with Robert Mays. And, he does a great job there talking about all teams and the quarterbacks in particular. Derek, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy all the watching tomorrow, and I'm sure you'll have eyes on Commanders Ravens.
I will. Thank you guys so much for having me. You guys have a good one.
You too. All right. Great conversation there. We'll wrap it up here in a little bit. We've got some more thoughts here on the Commanders. If you want to call in here quickly, 800-636-1067. We'll get a little more till we go out for the Caps opening game here on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, we're getting down to the home stretch here on 106.7 The Fan. Been a lot of fun talking about Commanders, Ravens, and Caps opening day. Tony in Clinton wants to jump in. I'm going to guess this is Commanders, but I don't know. Tony, what's on your mind?
Yeah, it's absolutely Commanders. And I was thinking, closer to the gets to the game, I'm not exactly sure how I feel about how I'm supposed to feel about it. Like, I hear people say we're playing with house money, but then I say, is that like a coward's approach to making excuses if we get blown out? And but at the same time, should I say we should be competitive and play, or I should be disappointed if we lose, or should I just be happy that we're being competitive? Should I be happy we're in the mix? I don't really know how I'm supposed to feel about the game tomorrow, man. It's like it's a weird in-between limbo as to excitement and acceptance and all that kind of stuff. So
I don't know. I totally get it, because like I've been saying, like, you know, look, I went into the season hopeful, but not in terms of wins and losses, but in terms of the direction. Now they're, you know, 4-1. Jaden Daniels looks great. The defense is better the last couple weeks. At the same time, a lot of the questions I had before the season still exist, and this is easily the best team they will face, at least since the Tampa game in week one. So on the one hand, yeah, if they get blown out, it's a big disappointment. On the other hand, just getting any more sense of where they're at, I think, is helpful for all of us, because right now people are letting their minds wander to where this could go.
We're getting too ahead of ourselves. I believe. I think people need to temper what's going on, man. We play some good teams, but at the same time, you know, what it's holes in Baltimore. The same. I mean, it's got the potential to have the same type of game as the Bengals game, man. And so, like, I don't say the fact that I'm even going back and forth. If I looked at this game on paper at week one, I'd be like, that's a blowout. That's a no chance. But the fact that we even just talking about it, I guess I should just be happy at that. But then again, I say that, but like, is that the coward's way? That's what losers say. Winners don't just say, I'll be happy either way. That's what losers say. So I'm trying to think like a winner. It's hard right now.
Well, look, I mean, I always try to take the practical approach, and I've been on the big picture bandwagon from the jump. I've been saying, and people have misconstrued what I've been saying, but I was saying this offseason, they're not really trying to win this year. And by that, I don't mean the players and the coaches. I just mean by the way they constructed the roster, they didn't trade away picks. This is about setting a baseline, changing the temperament, the tone, all that stuff, and then seeing what you have with Jaden Daniels and the rookies and move forward. But then they keep winning. And now it is like, wait, maybe I misconstrued this whole thing. Tony, I really appreciate the time. Thanks for checking in. We've got a one segment to go here on 106.7 The Fan before the Caps. Hang with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. All right, so I think we need to, you know, we've had a bunch of different guests and callers weigh in on what's going to happen Sunday, and I guess it's time to it's time for us to do it here, Max.
Time to pay the piper, isn't it, Ben?
I think it's that time. We got to figure out what to do. So Max and I are going to make some final points and final predictions here for Commanders Ravens. I, of course, will get to be in Baltimore tomorrow. I'll write about it on The Athletic and then talk about it later on my podcast, The Last Man Standing. So make sure to check those out. Subscribe as needed. And, of course, here on 106.7 The Fan, everybody will be weighing in tomorrow. The Sports Junkies, Grant and Danny, JP and B. Mitch, and so on. All right, but let's get to this here. I have said, and I think some of the other guests have agreed, Washington has got to stop the run game. Slow it down, however you want to phrase it. If they let the Ravens kind of get away with doing whatever they want, I just think this is going to be a long day. This is a game for Daron Payne and John Allen to really, you know, step up and be, you know, the Pro Bowl level players that they have shown they can be in their career. Without that, I just don't know how they're going to get past this one. So for me, I believe that I had 31-23 Ravens. Again, this is, you know, just kept picking Washington to lose, which I have done before, and they've made me look bad. But, you know, I just think this is the biggest test. But look, if they come out of this with a win, I mean, I'm not saying get the parades going, but it'll be time, I think, to fully say, okay, we can stop discussing what might be that this is something that is real. But I'm not quite there yet. 31-23 Ravens. Max, how about you? What's the key to the game? What do you got?
So key to the game, obviously, is stopping Derrick Henry. But I believe there's also somebody coming out of the Ravens' backfield, not named Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry, who will have an incredible game. I am predicting Justice Hill just goes crazy for some reason because I've seen him. I've watched him play. He's very shifty, very quick, can get out on the outside. And if he gets out on the outside, he could break one. So I think Justice Hill's going to have a big game. I think Commanders defense got to shore up on the edges, got to contain, got to get stops. And so I'm going to be predicting a 32-26 win for the Ravens. That is my final prediction for tomorrow. I'm very nervous, hoping we get a win, but I don't know if it's in the cards. If we do get a win tomorrow, my friends will all hate me. I will become the worst human anybody knows. I will talk the most smack anyone's ever heard. Because for the first time in my life, I think we have a 5-1 football team that I really believe in. So, it's going to be, my heart is on the line tomorrow, Ben.
Look, I get, and you know, obviously a lot of us have, you know, remember the RG3 year of 2012 and that looked glorious, but again, that team, just like all the recent playoff teams that this team has produced, all came on late. This group is starting off strong, which doesn't mean that things can't go reverse. And in fact, we've seen Cliff Kingsbury's offenses in the past struggle as the year went on. And that's another conversation we'll have down the line. But, you know, to your point, I mean, it's just in your lifetime, you haven't seen much. I mean, I'm old enough that I was there for the Super Bowls under Gibbs. And that has, you know, again, I'm no longer a fan or emotional fan about this, but like that's satisfied me even through the Snyder years, you know, at the point I started doing this, because I got there. Most of you, it just never has happened. Last playoff wins, 2005. You know, we were debating the other day in the media room, when's the last time they had a quote unquote franchise quarterback? And the answer is arguably Sonny Jurgensen, and that because you know, when you had Theismann and Doug Williams and Rippon, obviously good quarterbacks, but they weren't
the franchise
that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Theismann won an MVP, but you know, the first year with the Gibbs, they were 0-5. He switched from a pass to a run offense, then they took off. It is, again, we're gonna have to slow the roll on the Jane Daniels comparisons, but you know, I don't have an issue if people want to run wild with hype if they were to somehow win this. But again, bigger picture for me, I still think it's about contending year over year. That's what management has said. But if they have a good performance, even if they lose, even if it's competitive and it comes to the end, they lose, we'll see. I do wonder what Adam Peters – I think Adam Peters is going to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, at some point, you have to wonder.
You do, because it's – they've stuck to everything that they've said they were going to do. Now, if they decide to jump the gun and – well – depends on who you ask, jump the gun. But like, start loading up with talent right now. I feel like this guy could be the limit, and I'm afraid it might be too early. It's uncharted waters for guys like me. I really don't know what's going to happen, and I'm for the first time ever, I'm very excited.
It's understandable, as you should be. All right. Well, look, look forward to tomorrow. It should be a really exciting atmosphere. And look, I don't view this as a rivalry game at all, but geography, you know, it is something people surely have Ravens fans in their life or vice versa. And, you know, bragging rights is a real thing among us, outsiders watching the whole thing. All right. I very much enjoyed being back in the host chair today. Big thanks to Brian McNally with Monumental Sports and John Walton, voice of the Caps, for giving us some thoughts on the Capitals going into their season opener tonight. Fred Katz, my guy at The Athletic, talking Wizards and NBA. And then, of course, we had Childs Walker from the Baltimore Sun on the Ravens, Derek Klassen with us on the NFL. And, of course, thanks to thanks to Max behind the glass. Thanks to all of you who've called in. A lot of great calls today. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.